Book of Colossians. Be there for a while, Lord willing, lest he changes course. Colossians chapter number 1 tonight. How many are thankful to be in church?
Amen.
Amen. Sure, there are those who would love to be here that cannot. Just remember them in your prayers this week, but I do thank you for being here. Colossians chapter number 1. We've been here a couple weeks now. Let's start reading in verse number 1. We'll get down to probably verse number 9 tonight, and we'll go over a couple more of these verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. We learned that, we taught you that a few weeks ago, that we ought to always be thankful for our brethren, amen? You just don't know when the last time you're going to see them, or the last time you're going to get that opportunity to say thank you for one of them. You just don't know. But not only that, you ought to be praying for them. Because listen, you got it hard, they got it hard. Nothing's easy in this world anymore, folks. We need as much prayer as possible. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Last week we talked about heaven and what we as Christians had to look forward to. And folks, we do have something pretty awesome to look forward to one day, amen? It ain't this place, it's that place. And I'm so thankful that I'm going to that place called heaven, which has come unto you, verse number 6. Well, let's read verse 5 again. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it being the gospel, doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it. Heard of what? The gospel. And knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and all or and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Heavenly Father, I ask you tonight, Lord, to bless the reading of your word. I ask you now, Lord, as we open up your word, Lord, our prayer tonight, Lord, is in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'll bind the devil off this study. Lord, that you'll bind the devil off the everything that's done on this property tonight. Lord, he's not welcome. Through your blood, just bind him tonight. Bind the strong man, Lord, and we sure will thank you for it. Lord, bless our teachers tonight. Lord, as they're teaching our kids, our teenagers, and Lord, we just want them to be blessed, and Lord, we want the kids to receive a blessing. But Lord, tonight, we want to hear from you tonight, Lord, as we talk about the importance of the gospel of Christ and what it is and how we ought to be Spirit-filled individuals, Lord, how your people should not be walking around living like victims, Lord, but victorious Christians, Lord. After all, we are victorious. After all, we have won the war in the end through Christ Jesus, and I'm so thankful for that. But Lord, tonight I pray, God, that you'll burden somebody's heart, Lord, to take the gospel just a little bit more serious. And Lord, as we've spoken about tonight, Lord, people are going to offend us. People are going to make us mad. But Lord, we know the truth is your word, and Lord, we know thy word is truth, and I'm so thankful for that, and I'm thankful that no matter what any scientist says, Lord, your word's never going to change. You're never going to change. You're always going to be the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by you, Lord, and I'm so thankful for it. Now, Lord, if you'll just meet with us tonight, Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit tonight, Lord. Thank you for Kelly and his willingness to preach tonight. Thank you for Brother Andy and singing, and thank you, Lord, for this church who are just willing to be here on a Wednesday night. There's a lot of other places they could be, but I'm so thankful they chose to be in church. Now bless us now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Look in verse number 6. The Bible says, which has come unto you, talking about the gospel, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. We, as Christians, we need to be constantly reminding people that this is all about the gospel. Again, I'm going to reiterate here, Paul is not talking to lost people here. He's talking to the church of Colossae. It's very important that we as the church understand that what we're doing is not for us. It's who we're doing it for. And if you would catch a hold of that and stop worrying about what everybody else thinks about you, you'd go a whole lot further in the ministry that God has called you into. It's not what we're doing it for, folks. It's who we are doing it for, whether it be praying or teaching or leading singing or singing a special or preaching or teaching a class or cooking or cleaning, whatever we are doing that God has called us, it's all about the gospel. It's all about the gospel. Remember the gospel that was come upon you the day you were saved. Remember your doom when you were lost. How many remember when you were lost? How many can remember? I remember the 2.5 years where God convicted me when I was about 7 years old. And I remember that 2.5 years, Brother Scott, that I chose not to be saved. I mean, if I'd have died, I'd have split hell wide open, and I knew it. And oftentimes, Brother Randy, I'd have problems going to sleep at night because I'd think about what my Sunday school teacher would tell me. Every single Sunday, she'd say, Brother True, listen, son, if you do. Now listen, she couldn't convict me unto salvation. But see, I made the mistake of raising my hand and telling them that I had been convicted. Or, yes, convicted by God. And listen, I knew in those 2.5 years that if I died, hell was going to be my eternal home until the day that I come out to see the great white throne judgment, and in the lake of fire would be my eternity. And I knew that, and it scared me. How many of you remember knowing that as a lost person? You know, you ought to think about that and how scary that really is. Now, I ask you the question a lot of times. I wonder how many of you know someone that's probably lost. You can't be for sure. Only them and God know. But you know someone that's probably lost. Raise your hand. Now, listen. If you really and truly believe that they're lost and you really and truly care about them, how often does Jesus come up in your conversation with that individual? Is it more than the conversation of what we like to talk about? Easy things, work, hunting, fishing, Bible theories, Bible thumping. I'm with you. I love to sit down and talk Bible with people. But here's the deal. You're never going to win that battle. God's going to have to convict them. But how often, how burdened are you really for that individual? You ought to think back and remember they're just as lost as you used to be. And without Jesus Christ, without the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they're doomed for all eternity, folks. It's very important that we let the gospel live through us. You know, this little light of mine, sing it with me. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Then it goes, hide it under a bushel. What? No! I'm going to let it shine. I love it. I can't wait for VBS. I'm getting excited about this summer. I like the kids. Hide it under a bushel. No! I love it. Wait till you hear 40 or 50 kids sing. It's just a blast. But look, that's fun to sing about. But hey, how many of our lights are just hid? We walk into a dark world and there's no more light when we entered the room than there was when we were out of the room. The light isn't any brighter, folks. Everywhere you go, your light should be shining because of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and because what he has done for you. Your light ought to be shining brighter today than it was yesterday. It's got to be about the gospel. Remember, don't forget this. I think we often do. The gospel is for the whole world. The gospel should be producing fruit. Look in verse number 6. Which is come unto you as it is in the world and bringeth forth fruit. Folks, the only reason that you're saved today is because God sent Jesus Christ to die, was buried, and rose again for your sin. That's the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And without that, and without the conviction from the Holy Ghost, not a single one of you would be saved. You can't say, oh, I'd have chosen to get saved if I'd have wanted to. Hey, not without the conviction of God, you would not. And you need to understand that the same gospel whereby you were saved is the same gospel that could save every single one of those people that you thought about when your hands went up. But here's the question. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that the gospel is big enough to save that individual that you've been praying for 40 years? I'll tell you what, here, this will answer your question. Are you still praying for them? Or did you just quit? If you're still praying for them, folks, I think you still believe. You quit, you don't believe. Much prayer, what is it? Much power. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. The gospel should be producing fruit through you. Here's another thing that I think we as Christians, Paul's trying to reiterate to the church here. Yes, Paul is saying, you know, it's almost like, yeah, I'm the pastor. And we got other men that are working in the church. But did you know that God did not save you to not go spread the word of Jesus Christ to somebody else? Not a single man, woman, boy, or girl was ever saved to just be silent and keep what you've been given to yourself. It's very important that we share the gospel. Folks, listen, you'll reach into people's lives that I'll never meet. And just like I'll reach into people's lives that you'll never reach, it's very important at your work. Listen, when you walk in, people should see, hey, here comes the light. No more darkness. It should be like this. When you walk in the room, they should say, hey, watch your mouth. He's in the room. They should know that you're going to be upset if they still talk like that around you. It should be that you have people questioning you often. Hey, why is it that you're always smiling? Why is it that you're always happy? Why is it that you always talk to people? Why don't you just walk around like everybody else in a shell? Guarding yourself from whatever you're guarding yourself from. I mean, come on. Folks, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We have a home in heaven for eternity. What else do you need to make you smile? I mean, what else do you need? Are you actively sharing the good news gospel of Jesus Christ? Day by day, we should be sharing the gospel. Look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. Actually, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it for sake of time here. I want to get through this. Matthew 24, 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." You know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for October. Why? Because missions conference time. I am super excited for our missions conference. I'm excited to make that an annual thing, and I'm excited to have a missions board someday. I can envision missionary letters all the way around these walls. But you know how we're going to do that? Not when we're thinking in the way we think. Here's how it's going to happen. My God is able. But my God shall supply what? All your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Hey, listen. You think God's not about missionaries? Let me ask you this. How many of you live in a foreign country and are preaching the gospel? I don't. Now we have Facebook Live, and a couple of our missionaries follow us actively on Facebook Live, which is good. But here's the deal. If you're not willing to go, who is? Did Jesus Christ die for all the ones in the Philippines? He absolutely did. So how are we going to get them there? If we can't go, there's two things we can do. We can pray. And we can what? Give. And send other people. But give by faith. And folks, you'll be surprised what God will do with this church when everything is by faith. See, here's the thing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things what? Not seen. The just shall live by faith. We shall walk by faith, not by what? Folks, listen, if you're living your life and only what you can see, you have no faith. It's just a simple fact, and I had to learn that the hard way, I'm telling you. And honestly, it's a miserable life to live when you don't live by faith. When you live by faith, you do a little bit more, and you go a little bit more, and sometimes some of us give a little bit more. And here's the thing. I dare you to come up with a testimony where you've given by faith and God let you suffer for it. Not a single one of you will come up here and tell me a story like that. Why? Because God doesn't do that. He's never left the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. Listen, living by faith, it's very important that this gospel be preached in all the world. And folks, we're just one little town in Alabama. And when I say little, I mean little. This is a pretty small town. I mean, I didn't think I'd ever live in another town with no stoplight, but I did. twice. And I mean, Seward ain't got no stoplights either, which is good, because in the wintertime you'd just slide on through them anyway. Just saying. So anyway, it's very important that the gospel be preached to the world. And how are we going to do that? We're going to have to pray. And folks, we're going to have to give. It's just that simple. But will God bless us for that? He absolutely will. Psalm 96 and verse number 3. The Bible says, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among the people. Folks, can I say the gospel is even for the heathen? You say, who's the heathen? Well, every single lost person that's walking out there. That you say, God will never save that person. You know who the heathen is? It's, you drive down Montgomery, downtown Montgomery at nighttime, down Southern Boulevard. You'll see a bunch of them. Y'all hear me? Take a trip to Anchorage, Alaska in the wintertime. You'll see a whole bunch of them. Sleeping outside in negative 30 degrees, bundled up on top of one another trying to stay alive. Why? Because they're heathens. They chose a heathen lifestyle. Living in a country where nobody should ever starve to death. Nobody should ever suffer for really anything. Y'all all right? But here's the deal. You know what they are? They're lost. But did you know the gospel is for them? The gospel is for those that we see and we take the back roads to get around them, Brother Scott. The gospel is for all them lunatics driving from Florida every single weekend. All the heathens, anybody that you could possibly think in your mind that you say, I'll never be like that, I'll never be a part of that, I don't want to even look at those people. Hey, the gospel is for those people. And here's the reality. You look at them like that, well, what if they knew your dark secret? What if they knew how you were in your heart? Because here's the deal, man, woman, boy, girl, I'm talking to everybody here. Your outward appearance don't mean anything to God. Absolutely nothing. God looketh on the what? See, man can see the outward appearance. We can see that you're bringing a big smile in here. We can see that you're lovey-dovey with your wife at church and you smile and man, but you know what God sees? The truth. God sees the man behind the mask. God sees the lady behind the mask. God sees the heart. You can't fool God. The gospel is even for the heathen. If we'd all be honest, we all were heathens. Amen. My grandma told me that all the time. She called me a heathen often. Probably still would if she still had a right mind. Galatians 6:9, the Bible says, and let us not be weary. This is important. And let us, Christians, not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Can I say this tonight, church? That it is important not to be weary while we labor for our master. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying it's going to be some times where you're going to go out and you're going to do something and you're going to see results right now. How many like to see results? I struggle with this. I like to see things. And that's why I'm preaching on faith probably. But here's the deal. I like to see things sometimes. And I'm like, well, I don't know. But I appreciate when I go out. Like I remember sometimes we had a bus route in Seward. And I remember sometimes it'd be tough to get out there and go when it was freezing and raining and cold. And you knock on them doors and you're like, ain't no way these kids are coming out to church tomorrow morning. But then you turn around on Sunday morning, you take pictures, and there's 50 kids on a bus. To me, that was worth it. But what about the days where you do the same labor and only 10 kids get on the bus? Was that worth it? Not in our carnal minds. Why? Because that ain't what we wanted. But here's the deal. Angels rejoice over one. The Bible didn't say 10 or 12 people had to be saved at once for the angels to rejoice. You know what that tells me? That each and every soul matters to God. And folks, each and every soul should matter to us. Stop being weary in your work for the Lord. He says, in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. I'll say it like this. Quitters never win, right? They just don't. And winners never quit. Folks, we don't need no quitters in this church. We need Christians that are going to press on towards the mark. Stop looking behind. Stop letting the devil let you live in your guilt from your past. Guess what? It's in the past. Let me tell you something. You can't change it. What that person did to you, you can't change that either. But you can forgive, and you can move on, or you can pity party and quit and roll over and be useless for the cause of Christ. Folks, that's not what God wants. That's what the devil wants from us, to be a bunch of quitters. You know what I'm thankful for? People that don't quit. I'm thankful for men in my life that didn't quit when times got hard in their pulpit, when times got hard in their churches. Most men would have just threw in the towel and been done. You know what I want to do? I want to preach till I die. I'd like to die preaching, to be honest with you. If I die up here one day, DNR, okay? Let me go out that way. That'll be fun. I want to die doing what the Lord wants me to do is what I'm trying to say. And here's the deal. I don't want to get to heaven and be ashamed before God. You shouldn't want to get to heaven and be ashamed before God either. You should want to finish. Be not weary in your well-doing. You shall reap. Romans 1:16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Folks, you know, not only should we not be weary, we should not be ashamed of the gospel. You say, "What do you mean, Brother Drew? I'd never be ashamed of Jesus." Well, I think if we were all to be honest, there's been plenty of times every single one of us have been ashamed. Say, give me an example. All right. I'll give you an example. Plenty of times where the Spirit of God, I'll be in a store or anywhere at a cash register, you know, checking out. It sometimes it takes 2 or 3 minutes to check out. And God will say, "Hey, why don't you give that lady a track? Why don't you ask her where she goes to church?" Yeah, I don't know about that. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's not really what we're here for. But folks, if you don't, why? Because you're ashamed. Well, she might not like, who cares? She's not going to like hell either. Y'all all right? I bet you she'd feel a lot better later on in life knowing that somebody was obedient to the Spirit of God and told her about Jesus and she made heaven and avoided the place that was not created for her, all because somebody was obedient and the Spirit of God was already doing His part. Just like we preached on Sunday, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is so weak sometimes. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 3. The Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to who, folks? That are lost. In whom the God of this world," and who is that? Satan, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Can I tell you this, folks? Remember, when your gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. You know, it's good that you talk about Jesus with your fellow believers. Is it not? It's fun to open the Bible and learn. But folks, that's not sharing the gospel. Okay, they already have the gospel. It's good to learn more and gain more knowledge, no doubt. But how many lost people have you told? I wonder how many of you have ever led someone to the Lord, have had the opportunity to open up a Bible and watch as the Spirit of God convicts a soul from darkness to light, and watch the look of pure fear on their face turn to smile and relief. Man, I love when a young man or a young lady gets saved. I love when an elder man or an elder lady gets saved. I'll be honest though, listen to me now. statistics aren't very good after age 18. You listening? 80% of people get saved before age 18 that are going to get saved. Now, I'm not saying you can't, because I'm not God, but I'm just saying this is why it is so important that we reach the next generation before the devil gets them. It's so important to invest in the young men and the young ladies in this community. So important. Folks, there's no price tag on someone's eternity. There should not be a price tag on their eternity. Say, what do we got to do? Whatever it takes. Whatever God enables us to do is what we've got to do to make sure, one, that the ones we have here remain, and two, that we bring forth much fruit. Amen? Because that's what God's about. I don't want to be a part of a church that isn't about bringing forth much fruit. I don't want us to just die off and then nobody be left. I want the church to grow, and Lord willing, I'll get to preach here till I die. But after that, hey, I want another preacher to be ready to go that was trained up right here. I want junior church in 50 years to still have 30, 40, 50, 80, 100 kids in it. Y'all all right? Hey, that's what I'm about. We're not all going to be here in 50 years. Think about it. Look around you. It's just not going to happen. But hey, that generation over there, they're going to be here a lot longer than us, Lord willing. We've got to invest in them. In verse number 9, we'll finish up with this tonight. Back in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse number 9. I want you to see this. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Folks, can I say that we should desire for our brethren to be Spirit-filled? We should desire that for our moms, for our dads, for our husbands, for our wives, for our children, for our homes to be Spirit-filled homes. You say, what do you mean? Aren't we filled with... No, no. You have the Holy Spirit of God living within you. But folks, listen. Read on down here. Well, we'll get there in a second. We have a flesh still. Everybody know that? We still have what's called an old nature. We still are sinners by nature, folks, but we should desire to be Spirit-filled. It sure would be a powerful thing if we all were Spirit-filled. You imagine how mad Satan would be if every single one of us came here happy and nobody walked in those doors Sunday morning mad, angry, looking for a problem. Can you imagine? Satan would not know what to do. He'd be out back here banging on the door. Somebody let me in! How about no? Hey, how about we come to church ready to worship? Not come to church to get ready to worship. Folks, this is a place. See, we got it all mixed up. You ought to come to church ready to worship God because of what He's already done for you. You shouldn't have to come sit on a pew and get yelled at by a preacher and let God beat you up one side of that pew and down the other just to get right. Folks, the Holy Spirit's alive Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday too. Y'all all right with that? He is. He don't die and take days off. He ain't no on-call God. Folks, He's ever present, ever ready, making intercession for us. That's who Jesus is. He's always there. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? Go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I like these verses right here. I heard this preached one time, and it made a lot of good sense to me. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Now before you get upset, I ain't preaching on drinking, but just listen. And be not drunk with what, folks? Wherein is, what's the next word? But be ye filled with the what? So, is it possible to be Spirit-filled? Okay, now let's read on. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That didn't say rap, rock, and country. Y'all all right? I ain't going to talk about that. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 18. Let's read it again. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is what? Now, this might be a little comical to you, but I want to prove a point. How many has ever seen somebody that's had too much alcohol in their system? And it looks kind of what? Ridiculous? Crazy? I mean, look, it's evident that they have had excessive amounts of what? Alcohol. Now here's the point that the preacher made, and this really did something for me. Just as evident as it is when someone has had too much alcohol, hey, that's how evident it should be that you've had a whole lot of Jesus. Y'all hear what I'm saying? But here's the problem. It ain't that evident. Why? Because we're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Because we're not walking in the Spirit of God. Just as evident as it is, if a man walks in right now, you'd know if he was drunk. Every one of us turn around and be like, man, that man's had too much to drink. Well, folks, why is it that we don't have the testimony of that man's had a whole bunch of Jesus? Why? That's what the verse is trying to tell us. It should be so evident everywhere you go that you are Spirit-filled. By the way, it's not because God's not there. It's not because the Holy Spirit's not willing to pour it out, right? He's ever-present, ever-ready. So I wonder, am I living a Spirit-filled life? I wonder, are you living a Spirit-filled life? Well, let's look at this last scripture, Galatians chapter 5. Back one book. This should help you out a little bit. For those of us who might be saying, yeah, I'm living Spirit-filled life. Well, let's just see. Let's see what the Bible says. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the what? Now, capital S, Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the what? So, let's just ask a simple question. I don't raise your hands, but how many of you would say, I've struggled this week and I've fulfilled a lot of lust of the flesh? Well, it's a simple answer. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall what? Not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So are you walking in the Spirit? Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the what? And the Spirit against the what? And these are, what's the next word? Contrary. Folks, you know what it's time that we stop doing as Christians? It's time that we be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's time that we stop bringing the world's sound and the world's outlook on things and making it Christian. Y'all all right? Folks, enough is enough. Jesus never did that. He just stuck to what, hey, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Since when was every word of God not enough to live by for the Christian? You don't need to conform to their image, to their likeness, for them to like you. That's not how it works. That's wrong. It's not godly. It's not biblical. But look at this. The Bible says the flesh and the Spirit are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the what? Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now here the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, now pay close attention, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now don't let people tell you, there's ears right there. See, I told you, if you do any of these things, you can't go to heaven. Folks, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible says inherit the kingdom of God. You know that whole thing of laying up for yourself treasures? Folks, all you're doing is losing treasure. You can still go to heaven. But don't let somebody take that out of context for you. But here's the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I wonder how many of us are long-suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the what? With the affections and lust. So I belong to Christ. If I'm going to live in the Spirit, I've got to crucify this flesh. And along with it, the flesh's affections and the flesh's lust. If I'm going to live in the Spirit, I cannot be who I used to be anymore. I cannot do the things that I used to do. I cannot look upon the things that I used to look upon. I cannot partake of the things that I used to partake of. Folks, it's got to be God or the world. Because see, here's what God hates. Lukewarm. Well, don't you think being a Christian a couple days a week's enough? No. God didn't call us to be like that. Folks, I mean, what if Jesus had that mentality? Who would we be? Where would we be? We'd be a mess. So I'll ask you tonight, as the piano player comes, I want you to think about this in your own life tonight. I want you to compare the flesh with the Spirit. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight.